David mentioned the St. Louis Life Chain. Central has a reputation in this community of being one of the leading evangelical congregations in the entire city. One of the witnesses that we need to make, along with other evangelical churches in our community, is our stand on abortion, where we are opposed to the taking of innocent life. Probably most of you have never demonstrated for anything. And we're not asking you to go to an abortion clinic and block the door. We're not asking you to march or do anything that is violent. But simply to join a human chain of people with over 100 other congregations in this city, with hundreds of people, and simply to hold a sign that says abortion kills children or Jesus heals and forgives. If you've never done that, never participated in any demonstration, let me urge you to do that. Here is your opportunity to take a stand in the community for something we believe in and to join with other Christians to say to the world, here's who we are, here's what we believe, here's what we stand for. It's not asking much, but it's asking for a great witness. Let me urge you to participate next week. Next Sunday, we will be announcing, we will be assigned a place to stand. And we will be notifying you where you are to go next Sunday. And you will be provided the signs that we will use. I hope hundreds of you will do that. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. To chapter 12, we're going to begin reading at verse 1 and read through verse 11. We believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule for faith in practice. To know God's will and God's way, we go to His Word. Listen, hear what the Lord says in this portion of Holy Scripture. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguishing between spirits, to another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. And He gives them to each one just as He determines. Our meditation today is a continuation of our series on stewardship, in which we're looking at the whole spectrum of stewardship. Our theme today is Christian service. Our text is verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Our Father God, open our hearts and minds to understand what it is to serve, to be an authentic Christian. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was in college at Ole Miss, the University of Mississippi, located in Oxford, Mississippi, the most curious figure in town was a man who took long walks around the city, who wore a hat pulled down over his face, who wore a trench coat cinched tightly at the waist, but who was famous all over the world. His name was William Faulkner. After he won the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1949, my second year in college, he was asked what literary people and authors he associated with. And Faulkner replied that he did not know any literary people. The only people, he said, that he associated with were farmers and horse owners and hunters. He said, we talk about horses and dogs and guns and what to do about this hay crop and what to do about this cotton crop, and not about literature. Now, part of the genius of Faulkner was the fact that he wrote about real people, and he created what I like to think of as honest human fiction. He didn't just talk about the South. He didn't just associate with people who wrote about the South. No, he dealt with authentic people who lived in the South and who were truly authentic Southerners. Now, if Faulkner's theme had been about authentic Christians, would he have written about you and me? And that raises the question, what is an authentic Christian? If I ask you, what is an authentic Christian, what would you say? Right now we are in the midst of a stewardship series of sermons and a stewardship emphasis in our congregation. And what we are discovering is that stewardship at best is only partially emphasizing money. As a matter of fact, money may be the least part of stewardship. For example, there's the stewardship of marriage. Are you a good steward of your relationship to your spouse? Are you a good steward of your parenthood? That is your energy and your time and your efforts geared toward being a good, authentic parent? And what about the stewardship of love? When it comes to loving others, and that includes your enemies and people you don't like, are you a good steward of the love of Jesus Christ? So to think that stewardship deals only with money is to miss the main point of the New Testament when it talks about being an authentic Christian. And this morning I want to talk about being an authentic Christian steward when it comes to service to deeds. What do you think the biggest threat is today to the Christian church? Do you think it's liberalism? Do you think it's a lack of commitment to the Bible as the Word of God? Do you think it's a failure of the church to be relevant to the modern world? Let me tell you what the biggest threat to the church today is. It is the threat of inauthentic Christians. It is people talking one way and living another way. It is people saying one thing and doing another thing. Over in the little book of James, the writer puts it this way, "What good is it, my brothers," he says, "if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds?" He goes on to say, "Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." And then James goes on to add, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Now, the first point I want to make this morning is this: the greatest threat to the Christian church today is inauthentic faith that says and does not do. One Christian writer wrote, "Few external problems hinder the ministry of the contemporary Western church. We have money and buildings. We have top-notch educational institutions to prepare our leaders. We have abundant resources, books, tapes, conferences, training centers, parachurch ministries. But then he goes on to add, but inauthentic Christian living negates. Inauthentic Christian living negates all these external advantages. I want to ask you this morning, is the way you live an authentic witness to Jesus Christ? I'm not asking if you give money to the church or to charitable organizations. I'm not asking if you come to church regularly and even go to Sunday school. I'm asking if the way you live day after day is an authentic witness to Jesus Christ. You see, the way we live, if we are authentic Christians, includes the witness of our works, our deeds. So the first point I want to make is that the greatest threat to the Christian faith is made up of those who claim to be Christians, but whose lifestyle does not confirm it. You see, too many of us are inauthentic Christians. The second point I want to make is this. What gift of service has God given to you? To put it another way, what passion do you have for God in ministry? What passion do you have for God in ministry? Let me illustrate. Down in Mississippi, there is a black minister named John Perkins, who is the founder of an organization called the Voice of Calvary Ministries. He has a passion for minorities, to helping them find dignity and self-respect and to equip them to find employment that is meaningful. He has a passion that burns in his soul. Or again, there is Louis Palau, who has just returned from an evangelism mission to Eastern Europe. He has a passion for the lost. He says, give me the gospel and some good music, and we'll do damage in enemy territory. We'll lead the people to the Lord. And he has gone from crusade to crusade, from country to country, because he has a passion for reaching the lost for Jesus Christ. A good friend of mine is a man named R.C. Sproul. He's an author, a theologian, but most of all, he has a passion for teaching. God has gifted him with unique abilities, and he has an incredible impact through videotapes and other ways on literally millions of people through his teaching. Or there is James Dobson, a person many of you listen to and read his books and you listen to his teachings. He is a man who has a passion to minister to families. Reaching families for Christ is a driving passion in his life. Now, what is your passion for service? What is there in your Christian life that compels, impels you, and drives you to minister in an authentic way for Jesus Christ? It may be a passion to teach children or a passion to teach young people. It may be a passion to do something about the homeless or the poor and destitute. It may be a passion to care for unwed mothers or to minister to the elderly who are shut up in homes for the aged. But our scripture says this morning that none of us are giftless. None of us are without a ministry for service. And that doesn't mean your ministry has to be exercised within the walls of the church. You may have the ministry of compassion or hospitality. But it has to be a passion to function as a part of the body of Jesus Christ, the church. And what is your passion for God? What is your passion to authenticate your Christian witness. The third point I want to make is this. God gives different gifts for service to different people, but nobody is ignored. Nobody is left out. Our text for this morning makes it plain. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for what purpose? For the common good. Now, I don't know what gift God has bestowed on you. I have no idea what ministry God calls you to do in the life of the world and in the congregation for Jesus as you live out an authentic Christian life. But there's one thing I do know. There is one thing of which I am absolutely certain, and it is the fact that there is not a single Christian, not one, who is giftless. Now that has some startling implications. It means that if you have no gift for ministry, it calls in question the authenticity of your relationship to Jesus Christ. Or, if you're not exercising a gift for ministry, it means that you are not living the authentic Christian life. Is that too harsh? If so, I didn't say it. The Bible does. You see, Paul describes the gifts of the Spirit, and then he adds, and he gives them to each one. So to be an authentic Christian means that not only does each of us have a gift for ministry, but God expects us to use that gift. Now in the fourth place, let me share with you several ways how using your gift for ministry brings benefits. First of all, it benefits you. A recent issue of the American Health magazine states as follows, quote, new research shows that doing good may be good for your heart, your immune system, and your overall vitality. According to this magazine, the University of Michigan's Research Center found that doing regular volunteer work more than any other activity dramatically increased life expectancy and vitality. It goes on to point out that men who do no volunteer work were 2.5 times as likely to die during this study as men who volunteered at least once a week. The article goes on to add that doing good may be good for your immune system as well as your nervous system. So in giving ourselves away, we may be saving ourselves. Ralph Waldo Emerson put it this way, it is one of the most beautiful compensations in life that one cannot sincerely try to help another without helping himself. Another benefit of service is what it does for the church. There are members of our congregation who are involved in many ministries. There are those who work with unwed mothers, with ministries in the inner city, with Habitat for Humanity, with teaching, with driving buses, with ushering, with working with singles and youth and children, and any number of ministries that benefit the church and which present to the world at least a dim vision of what authentic Christians are like. You know, there are a lot of critics of the church today, but I wouldn't want to live in a world without the church. If you took away all that the church has done for the world, what a sorry place it would be. The universities and colleges started in our own country were all begun by the church. All of the original hospitals in this country were started by the church. It was the Presbyterians out on the frontier, moving with the people, who initiated and who supported primary education. Out on the frontier, the first thing built at every crossroads was a church. And what sort of moral standards would our society have today? And it's bad enough. But what would it be were it not for the teachings and the influence of the church? Yes, what a sorry world it would be without the church. So what we do in service as authentic Christians not only helps us personally, it enhances the image of the church and the ministry of the church to an unbelieving world. And then the third thing service does is to bind us together in fellowship. You see, service draws people together in meaningful relationships when we pursue a common goal. See how it works. One of our daughters has just recently moved to Chicago, and she and her family have been attending Willow Creek Church. This is an extremely large congregation, and they have thousands attending each Sunday. For example, last Easter, they were anticipating for Easter services 25,000 people. Now, obviously, just handling the traffic, even if you got a parking lot, just handling the traffic for that many people coming and going is an incredible problem. They have two services each Sunday, and moving the traffic for that many cars between services is trying. But all of their traffic is handled by volunteers. Dr. Hybels, the pastor, writes about what happened one Easter. Quote, Easter was unusually cold and rainy. Our traffic safety team had to direct traffic Thursday and Friday nights and on Sunday from 4 a.m. until 2 p.m. I expected that by Sunday afternoon we'd have to scrape them off the pavement. Instead, he wrote, I found them having a tailgate party. As I walked to my car, they offered me coffee and cookies. Wasn't it a great day, they said. There were so many people here, we had to park them in the ball diamonds. And they all heard the message of the resurrection. What a day! And then Dr. Hybels adds, fellowship. There's nothing like the camaraderie that develops in the trenches of service. Yes, being an authentic Christian means stewardship. It means being a good steward of the gift for ministry that God gives to every authentic Christian. Back in the days of the stagecoach, a man started on a journey, and he discovered that there were three classes of seats on the stagecoach: first class, second class, third class. He looked at the stagecoach, and he couldn't see that much difference among the seats, and so he opted to buy third class. And all went well for a time, and he was congratulating himself upon saving some money. Presently, however, the stage came to the foot of a steep hill. The driver stopped the stagecoach and the horses, and he called down, First class passengers, stay in your seats. Second class passengers, get out and walk. Third class passengers, get out and push. Authentic Christians are third-class passengers on this journey through life. The Lord of the church calls us to be authentic, to get out and push. And that's what it means to be a good steward who serves.